Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Alrighty, welcome to the second hour of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard, TalkTainmentRadio.com. Yeah, the way that radio is going to be heard. 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call, or you can Gmail me, as Anthony Sloan did from South Africa. Thank you for the correction for me, my brother. Visiting here in the States, we were speaking about quote-unquote, and he set the record straight for me anyway. So thank you again, and he just sent me another Gmail acknowledging that. Okay, so thank you for that. Our topic today is reflections. T-Step sent that in, and I mentioned that that was a good topic that we would do, and as a matter of fact, we've been reflecting on words the whole program, and we did a program on the importance of words, and so we had Mr. Fuller and have Mr. Fuller addressing that. Again, the show is completely unrehearsed. I don't call Mr. Fuller, Mr. Fuller doesn't call me, and then we decide what we're going to talk about. We let it go right off the cuff, mistakes and all, because that's the way that life is. You just have to do it. So we do. With that being said, reflections is our topic today on the 24th of July. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, hopefully you can hear me. Matter of fact, somebody Gmail me if I'm coming in clearer now. But anyway, caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
You got me, brother.
Hey, how you doing, man? Go ahead.
Oh, not good. My regular number, I call in to your show. I can't get through. Have that been muted?
No, but as I had mentioned in the early Extermination Man, we call that you affectionately, the usual suspects have been in play to try to distort Mr. Fuller's message, you know, getting out and all kind of things. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Just all kind of things are going on. But we're glad you got through now. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, good. Now, very few of us want to hear or acknowledge genocide and extermination. Now, I do not call to talk away from this show or to take away from Brother Fuller wealth of knowledge. I call to add to this show by putting genocide and extermination on the table. Now, these psychopaths run Earth and they run space and they've been running it for a long time. We have to come to some bottom conclusion. What is it that these psychopaths want since they run Earth and space? So I come to the conclusion they want to exterminate non-Caucasians from this planet. And if we look at their work, what they do, what they are doing today, then you can plainly see that even if you don't want to acknowledge. My final comment is this. Mr. Hitler, Mr. Mussolini did not overthrow their government. The power structure in Germany and Italy put them in to do exactly what they did. Donna Hitler Mussolini dump has not overthrown the power structure in this country. They put him in to do exactly what he's doing. He is supposed to create an atmosphere of chaos and things why you hear people say, man, he's crazy. You hear what he said? Man, he said this, he did that. He's supposed to do that. Because for them to exterminate us, they must have that type of atmosphere. For us to have a UN headquarters in New York, a black man is choked to death with 6 or 8 police around him, breathing for breath. And to have a UN headquarters right there in New York, and they don't say nothing, and nobody say nothing to them, what does that mean? Next final thing, if you can escape out of here, think seriously about getting out of here, getting your children out of here. You're not going to escape racism and white supremacy. They run the earth in space. But you might be able to get somewhere your grandchildren live their life out. They are psychopaths. They are mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not the mental illness where a person don't know right from wrong. They know it's wrong to kill Trayvon. 300 police on Facebook in Philadelphia putting out racist comments. Police in uniform, in retired, in Philadelphia. They know this wrong.
Yes, sir.
They must create an atmosphere for masses of black people.
All right,
Peace,
my brother.
Lord.
I appreciate you calling in. We miss you, extermination man. Call back. All right, thanks. All right, Mr. Fuller. Let's see here from the Gmails. Let's see here. This comes from Yatora, and she says this, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, I'm sure I've read over this entire book, but I still would like to hear you, Mr. Fuller, break down on this question. Is it more or most constructive to focus one's time and energy on helping other black people to get on code, or to focus that energy on the system of white supremacy to end the mistreatment of black people?
Either way, it works. If you're focusing on talking, I guess, if you're talking to white people about replacing the system of racism with justice, that will work very well. I mean, because white people can make that decision very quick. They can just say, you know what, without black people doing anything, let's just get a better system than what we have been doing business on. We've been doing business on the basis of dominating and mistreating people based on color. That's a form of royalism. I mean, most efficient form that's ever been thought up. But it destroys people unnecessarily. We can have a system of justice, and we're intelligent enough to come up with ways and means of getting that done, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated, and guaranteeing that people that need help the most get the most constructive help. And we can do that. We can do that. I mean, we have the technology and everything right here now. We don't have to search for that. We can just push a few buttons and get that well on the way. We can get that accelerated, rather than just trying to figure out a way to refine the system of racism that we already have in place, because we have enjoyed that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But we can enjoy having a system of justice. If white people make that decision, that will be done. And if you can persuade them, and I would like to, figure out a way to persuade them to do that, then it's a done deal. Like in 15 minutes, it's a done deal. Now, they know how to do stuff. They get stuff done better than anybody on the planet. We have to admit that. White people, when they really roll up their sleeves and put their shoulder to the wheel, they get something done that's amazing in no time flat. And most black people would testify to that if we tell the truth. I mean, we're walking around bragging about products that they come up with. Hey, man, look at what I got. Look at this. I got the latest one. This costs $5,000, all right? And I got one of them. And talking about some form of communication right there in your hand. You know, but he didn't invent it. He didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, he wouldn't know the first thing about how to repair it or do anything without a white person looking over his or her shoulder. Let's be honest and truthful about that. This is a complete mystery to us. Everything is. A washing machine is. Until what? Until somebody, white, comes up and says, hey, buddy, you want to know how to fix this washing machine? I made the washing machine. I know everything there is to know about a washing machine. You don't even know how to operate it without me telling you with your black self. So, but I can show you. So the point that I'm making is they have been in business a long time, and we have been prisoners of war a long time. And as prisoners of war, they don't teach us anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So they know a whole lot more than we know. We have to admit that. That's why black people don't try to show off to white people, because we know that that's silly.
Yes.
That won't work. We show off to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to the point, yes, we can ask white people to really work on this thing called justice and be very concise and very precise about what we mean by that. Not just abstractions like do the right thing and equality. Equal doing what? Killing people? We don't want to be equal to that. We want a better system altogether, and that would be a system of justice.
Okay.
And be very precise about that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go the route that I mostly go to, get black people to make all of our contacts constructive. That alone was the most dangerous thing that you can do to the system of white supremacy. Sometimes black people call and ask me, or they'll, you know, be talking to me or call in on this program. And I keep emphasizing that. Even before I went on air this morning, I was thinking about the contacts. That's the most poisonous thing. If we make every one of our contacts constructive, that will blow the system of white supremacy apart. I mean, big time.
Okay.
They can't resist that. There's no way. If we just concentrate and said, hey, I'm not contacting any other black person for the rest of my life unless I have a constructive reason for doing so, period. It's got to be constructive.
Yes,
otherwise,
sir.
I ain't doing it. I ain't talking to nobody or nothing.
Okay. Phone lines are open, 1-877-932-9766. And, yes, the usual suspects are at play again, but phone lines are open, 1-877-932-9766, or you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. Okay, question from the Gmails, Mr. Fuller. It says this, good morning, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, on July the 10th, 2019, you were a guest on the Carl Nelson Show. You made a comment, I am paraphrasing, that you believe the U.S. is preparing to set up the country like Brazil and California. Can you provide your VGQ regarding this?
Oh, that's just something that's been floating around in my mind for years. I started thinking that way back in early 1970s, I think, or the late 1960s. And I said, California is sort of like an incubator for experimentation, particularly when it comes to matters of sex. Sex is very important. Sex is extremely powerful. It's the greatest motivating force among the people of the planet, next to the system of white supremacy itself. It motivates, you know, everything is sexual, everything, you know, but it's secondary to the system of white supremacy. System of white supremacy, in my opinion, is the most powerful motivating force among the people of the entire planet Earth, and sex is the second most powerful. So I start noticing, particularly around San Francisco and places like that, that the white supremacists were, you know, engaging in new experimentation of everything sexual, all right? And then it all during the 1960s, it was a lot of experimentation everywhere, all right? But, I mean, but it wasn't so much gender experimentation. It was just male with female doing all sorts of things with the porn magazines and all this. I mean, the Playboy Mansion. I mean, everything sex, all during the 1960s, the miniskirts and all that, and people just sex, all kinds of books about sex. Sex started matching the books about murder mysteries, which that's a weird thing. You go into a bookstore, most of the books are about murdering somebody, or it's about engaging in various forms of sexual activity. That's what the books in there are about. I mean, how to run a locomotive, you go back to the back of the bookstore for that. I mean, back there in the dustbin. How to grow asparagus, or how to put up a building and whatnot. I mean, you might find those books back there in a special section. But most of the books are going to be about killing somebody, war, murder, or it's going to be about sex. I mean, women with their legs gapped open, I mean, sitting up in the middle of the window in the bookstore and whatnot. And so a lot of the 1960s was made up of that. But by the 1970s, they started saying, we need new sexualities. I mean, this thing about male and female, that's old-fashioned. I mean, we need to invigorate this thing. We need to pump it up, all right? And say, well, pump it up by doing what? Well, we need some people who male with male. And not only that, we need different varieties of that. Not just one variety, not just male with a male. I mean, you know, we've always had plenty of that. That's kind of old hat. Everybody understands that. Or a female with a female. But we need to break that down into, little bits and pieces of this and that and the other. Well, like what? Well, we need to come up with something called trans. Well, trans what? Well, it might mean anything. Trans this, trans that. Maybe 15, 20, 30, 40 different types of trans. Transsexuality. Well, what does that mean? And is it an improvement over what we have had before? Oh, it'll be a great improvement. Well, improvement how? What is it improving? Oh, well, it's part of the liberation package. What do you mean by liberation package? You figure that out as we go along. And so they were doing this mostly in Northern California at the time, all right, and started jumping all over people who were questioning it.
Yeah.
All right, they backlash real quick. They say you're homophobic and whatnot or something without explaining exactly what that means. All right? I looked it up in the dictionary, homophobic, you know. They say being afraid of someone who is homosexual. Well, let's break that down. Afraid how? What are you doing to show fear? Say, well, a lot of people kill people. In some parts of the world, it's legal to kill them. You know, Adolf Hitler was doing it and whatnot. And say, no, well, you don't want nobody killing nobody and all like that. But now, are there any other types of fear? Well, yeah, there are other types of fear. Well, other types of fear that make people do what? Well, just fear. Just fear in the abstract.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. No, we need some details here. We're going to make all these wonderful changes that you're talking about. So, in answer to the question, I started noticing it. It was mostly happening in Northern California and then spread to Southern California and then started spreading everywhere.
Yes.
You know, and then I understand that it was a huge drumbeat at that same time in a place called Brazil for the same thing. Now I understand that a lot of people who are in Brazil are beginning to say, wait a minute, who thought all this up? Particularly among us, all us dark-skinned people. Where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And is it an improvement? Now, I understand Brazil, particularly at Mardi Gras time, had always been what you call a real what you call liberated, as far back as anybody can remember, when it came to naked women and all this type of thing parading in the street.
Yes, sir.
But this thing called, you know, trans this and trans that, and we need about 40 or 50 different types of sexuality among people to improve ourselves, then I start saying, wait a minute. And a lot of this, it seems like they are putting the black people right in the forefront
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I really became suspicious of
yeah.
it then.
Okay.
When it was all white people, I wasn't paying much attention. But when they start putting black people in the front of it, I say, this is a white supremacist
right.
thing.
Okay.
And that's the conclusion I've come to right to this day.
Yes, sir. Okay, TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge, worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news. How about that one? Lifestyle. Woo! Sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. And here's a few that I'm going to share with you. Everlasting Life with Michelle Vanell. This show right here with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. and Mr. Bobby as co-host, The Compensatory Concept. And All in the Family with S. Yolanda Robinson. Now listen, again, all these shows are exclusive to Talk to Him at radio.com. All you have to do is go on the TalkTainment.com radio homepage, and man, you're right there. Just click on a couple of programs, sample it, see how you like it. And if you do, maybe you can like and subscribe to it. You know, that's totally up to you, but sample it. All this from TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And before I take the phone call, Mr. Fuller, you spoke about the word trans. I was in a meeting last night, and that word came up along with a couple other things that you've hit on. And now it's up to 500 different types of expressions of sexuality. And I didn't know that it began out in California. Wow. All right, let's take a phone call. Caller, you're on with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Go ahead.
I wanted to say that sexual remark that he stated is so true, because I know me, myself, that's what I kind of always am thinking about, and I have to check myself on that. I want to thank Mr. Fuller for mentioning that in his book. Another thing I wanted to say is that since the system of white supremacy is always restructuring, do you think that the code needs to be updated and restructured as well that was placed in the book?
What was that question?
It said, You constantly mention that the system is a 24-hour system and it's always retweaking and restructuring. And do you think that the book itself needs to be going through restructuring as white supremacy keeps changing and restructuring itself?
Oh, yes. That's why as I become aware of things, because the white supremacists are always coming up with something, you know, some refined way of practicing white supremacy. Once you get something started, you keep trying to improve it. That's whether you're making an airplane or a motor car or a lawnmower or a telephone. I mean, improvements have been made. So the white supremacists understand that universal principle. Once you get something going, you start looking at it and double checking it and whatnot and say, I wonder if I can improve this. So the white supremacists are always trying to improve on the system of white supremacy to make it, what, more powerful, more refined, more smooth in its operations. It used to be they just walked around all day, I mean, or rode around all day looking for a black person to lynch in order to keep them in place. Now and then, they will kill a black person here and there. Mostly they have got black people killing each other. That's a part of the smooth operation. Hey, somebody figured out some time ago. Why not just put them in a frame of mind where they have hostility toward each other and plant that seed in the schools and everywhere else where they become rebellious against the teacher and whatnot because the teacher's not teaching anything that they think they can use. And then next thing you know, that spills into the streets, and then they carry it into the streets, and then they start glorifying it in their songs and whatnot, mistreating each other, and get them to doing that and cutting each other up on Saturday night like they did in the Northwestern Hemisphere and other places. In the old days, they used knives and razors. I mean, you just regular ritual. Black people go out, get drunk, start a fight, and kill each other on Saturday night. And then back to the mines, back to the plantations, back to the farms and whatnot, back to the factories on Monday, okay? And a lot of songs reflected that. And actually, some of them kind of urged it on, like this is part of black culture. That's what we do. Saturday night is get drunk and kill each other night, okay? And then go to church on Sunday morning and ask for forgiveness. And then back on that, back under the slave master's job on Monday. That was the sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And so the white supremacists thought of doing all this. Why? Because, hey, they don't let anything happen that they're not orchestrating one way or another or steering it. That's the way the system, the prison system of white supremacy works.
Yes.
So that's just it. They refine it as they go along.
Okay.
So if that answers the question, I mean, I hope that it does, and if it doesn't...
No, I mean, it answers the question. I mean, there are a couple of questions I could ask in that, but I think as a whole it did. So I should be expecting a Volume 3 from you.
I'm going to say this about the books. Now,
yeah.
I told people, one problem, one book. And I like to think of the revised expanded edition of the basic textbook. And if you see at the bottom of the word guide, it says an addition to the basic textbook. I wanted to put all 800 of those pages in one volume.
Couldn't do it,
but
could you?
that would have been kind of cumbersome for people to carry around. So I say I'm just going to split up the word guide, all right, because a person can just use that every now and then and leave that, and they can carry around with them basically the basic book, and that will cover most of the things they have to say. And if they have to look up a certain word within the compensatory counter-racist context, according to what I have written, then they can look at that later, and they won't have to, you know, because I wanted a book that can be carried around by people, I mean, all the time. And, you know, on the job and whatnot, and even in classrooms, people said, well, don't we need special schools for this and all? I said, no, you become the school. You're walking school. And if you're in a classroom, you just take the book with you. And if they're teaching sociology or psychology or whatever, or anything dealing with people, economics, you just have the textbook in the classroom with you. I say, and when you start talking out of the textbook, I mean, that's a part of the class. You don't need to set up any special schools.
Okay. That's
the compensatory way. You use what is already there.
Okay.
Wherever you happen to be, you're the school.
All right. Caller, I want you to hang on because we have to take a station break here. But hang on. Hang on, caller.
Please.
Hang on, Mr. Fuller. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. I want you to stay right there. The caller is going to have his second question. Mr. Fuller will answer that, and then we're going to get into a few Gmails and then wrap this baby up. All that and more coming up on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
The Urban Cultural Arts Foundation presents Baba Shanga Obadina Pakaki on Sunday, August the 18th from 4 to 7 and Saturday, August the 24th from 2 to 5. All events will occur in the William H. Thomas Out Gallery at 1270 Bryden Road. For more information, call 614-252-7525 or 614-745-1750.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Have you ever wished you could spend more time with your kids, or maybe quality time with your spouse, when you can actually have an uninterrupted conversation? Do you owe your dad a little catch-up time? Well, it's time to reconnect, and no activity can bond a family together quite like boating and fishing. I mean, think of all the great experiences you had as a kid when you went boating or fishing. Well, guess what? It's still great. Boating and fishing are the perfect opportunities for your family to get away, to talk, to laugh, to create new memories. So take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you. If you haven't been on the water in a while and you're not sure where to start, or if you just like to have some helpful tips for your next trip, please visit TakeMeFishing.org. This has been a public service of TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it is. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neil A. Fuller, Jr. Our topic today is reflections. Mr. Fuller has been addressing that and also other concerns. We do have a caller on the line. Before we go back to the caller, let me say this. Mr. Fuller referenced a brother from South Africa from French Guiana. He just wrote in, brother, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to your question from French Guiana, but Mr. Fuller, I will make Mr. Fuller aware of that, and we will, if we have time, get to that. So hang on and keep listening, because this program does go internationally. Okay, my brother, you're on the line. Go ahead with your second question for Mr. Fuller.
All right, so this is Bill in New York again, and I just wanted to say that we're reflecting on what the brother said from Africa between open and closed quotes. I think you can say it if you're speaking open quote, closed quote, in my opinion. I just wanted to bring that out.
Okay.
You really just stating the beginning and the ending of what someone has said.
Okay.
I have no problem with saying open quotes or closed quotes. The next question I wanted to ask Mr. Fuller is, I want to just say to him, please do a little bit of research on ADOS, because I know it's been mentioned many times, and he said he has not been up on that. So I just wanted him, because I think a lot of questions I would like to ask, or people want to ask us about that. But this question is, why isn't money the most dominant religion that uses white supremacy, racism, as a tool to control all wealth, as stated by, like, Myron Fagan? That's my question.
Oh, if I understand the question, why isn't money
the most dominant religion instead of white supremacy, racism? Why is it money? Because people say that. It's not racism, Bill. It's money. So why is it money the most dominant religion that uses white racism as a tool to control all wealth?
Oh, well, you used the correct word there. Money is a tool. Racism is a religious philosophy that's also a tool, but it is a superior philosophy to money. Nothing is money. You can say that a rock is money. A diamond is a rock.
Are you real?
A shiny rock. Mm-hmm. And they make it shiny. Because I understand the diamonds in the rough are not very shiny. I don't know if, whether that's true or not. But even if they did or didn't shine, what is money? Money is whatever the white supremacists say that it is. That's why the white supremacist philosophy is superior to money, because money doesn't make the white supremacists. The white supremacists make money. I worked in a place called the Bureau of Engraving and Printing for many years, and they printed something called money on paper. It was blank paper, and then when they ran it through a press, it came out being money. And it had $10 on it, $20, $50, $100, sometimes called Benjamins, because it had Benjamin Franklin's name on it, whatnot, and George Washington, number one, the $1 bill, a slave owner, Thomas Jefferson, a $2 bill, a slave owner. So they have slave owners' pictures on money. So what's the period, the money or the person that owns the money, the person who makes the money, the person whose pictures go on the money? So if I make something, I'm superior to the thing that I made. So the money is not controlling me. I'm controlling the money because I made the money. That's obvious. And so that's where I got that from. I say that the system of white supremacy is the strongest religion in the world. Because what is a religion? A religion is a strong belief backed up by action. And nobody has ever come up with a philosophy stronger than the system of white supremacy and put it into action.
Okay.
Other people are running, trying to catch up. They'll say, well, I have a religion, but I'm having problems trying to practice my religion because people keep interfering with my religion. And I mean, and my religion is at a disadvantage. And I'm, say, for example, I'm a Christian, but people are always opposing me as a Christian. And it's a real struggle trying to keep this Christianity thing going. And I'm having problems trying to get people to follow the Christian religion, and they are being persecuted. Well, the white supremacists don't have that problem because ain't nobody persecuting them. I mean, hey, they don't take no guff from nobody. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your religion is, your philosophy, or how much money you got if you're black. The white supremacists said, hey, you ain't seen money like me. I'm a white person in the system of white supremacy, and I am money. I'm walking money. Any money that you have doesn't mean anything until I say so with your black self. That's why the code says the system of white supremacy is the most powerful religion ever thought up in the minds of the people of this planet. Okay. I don't know about other planets, but on this planet, they prove it every minute of every day.
Every day. All righty. Let's see here before we do. Okay. Caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Good morning, Mr. Fuller. I'd just like to say, you are totally correct about everything you're saying. I'm seeing it. I'm observing it. It's pretty much right in our faces. I was listening to an older show back in 2013. A young man asked you to look at a documentary called We Come as Friends. And it went into the effect of China over in Africa with the white supremacists. And, I mean, it pretty much just validates everything you say. That's all I can really say. I'm just listening, and everything you're saying is really true in my eyes. That's all I got to say.
All right, brother. We thank you for that, VGQ, and thank you for listening, my brother, very much. Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Fuller, let's do this. Talk to him at radio.com. We go where you go. Download. Do people still do that today? Download the Talk to him at radio.com app. to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Thank you for listening, brother. Sound like you were driving, but thank you for listening. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and I'm listening to him myself. But it is at this particular time that we designate for Mr. Fuller to discuss his book, and I have both copies right here. And Mr. Fuller, go ahead and talk about your book.
Yes, you can get the book by going to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. And right now, the Word Guide and the original 1984 edition might not be available. That should be available within the next 3 weeks, someone has told me. I hope that's correct, because there are people who are asking for those books. And right now, you will get the revised, expanded edition of the 1984 edition. That's the latest edition, and the only main edition, by going to producejustice.com. That's the 2016 edition. And what will come up on the screen is the method for ordering. And a little description, just a brief description, of what the book is about and what it's for. And the book is directed to the individual person of color, non-white person, here on planet Earth in 2019, who perceives him or herself to be a victim of the system of white supremacy. And it gives an analysis, according to my opinion, of what racism is and the effects that it has, and what an individual person, a series of suggestions about what an individual person can do each and every day without having to check with somebody else or go to a committee meeting or anything like that. You have problems every day, most likely, directly, indirectly, if you're a person of color on planet Earth in 2019. And the problem is people will mistreat you because of your color. That's like a domain. That's like something that has to be. That's just a given in the system of white supremacy. That's what it's for. It's set up to dominate and mistreat people who have color in their skin. So we needed, in my opinion, a book that would address that for the individual, and when the individual is acting alone or speaking alone or in a lonely situation, what do you do, what do you say? Because everything is about what you do and what you say. In reaction to what? In reaction to what somebody else does and what somebody else is saying. And that includes people that look like you and people that don't. What's the best thing to do in every circumstance? That's the book that I tried to write. What is the best thing to do and or say in every circumstance? And naturally, it's all kinds of circumstances that just go on and on and on. Circumstances by the millions. So I couldn't put everything in a book, but I try to use it as a basic guide. What do you do when somebody says this to you? What do you say? What is the best possible thing can ever be said by anybody at any time in response to what that person just said to you? That's the kind of book I tried to write.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay. All righty.
Producejustice.com. That's how you get it.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the Gmails. Let's see here. This is from Brother Rashad. He says this, hello, Mr. Bobby. I really appreciate the discussions you hold with Mr. Fuller. He often mentions old school movies having a lot of valuable constructive information. I have been taking his advice and watching a lot of the old school Hollywood films. Can you ask Mr. Fuller if he ever watched the film 20,000 Years in Sing Sing? There is a lot of constructive information for victims of white supremacy in the film based on a book written by a former Sing Sing warden named Laws, L-A-W-E-S. Then he gave a link to the online film. Mr. Fuller, have you watched the movie 20,000 Years in Sing Sing?
No, I haven't.
Have you heard of
it? I heard about the movie when it first came out many years ago, but I never bothered to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should.
Well, you got a lot of backup stuff to do, don't you, Mr. Fuller?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. I mean, in fact, I have books on my shelf that I am intending to get to for about 15 or 20 years. I mean, I haven't gotten to not one page of any of them, and more are still coming.
Yes.
So I'll never be able to do a lot of things that I want to do. But I try to do the best I can with the little time that I have.
Well, yeah, because I'm getting that too.
But anything that anybody can get out of anything, look, see, the whole premise is if you're looking at a movie or look or reading a book, try to figure out, is there anything in here of constructive value that I can use? In other words, short term, I mean, focus. What is the lesson that I can get out of looking at this particular movie or looking at a picture on the wall? You know, you pass by a picture in a museum, and you say, okay, I'm looking at this picture on the wall. It's taking up the whole wall. Now, is there a lesson? This is called modern art. Now, what lesson, when I walk away from having looked at this picture or took a picture of the picture, what lesson can I get out of having seen this work of modern art on this wall today? What can I walk away with that I can put in a practical manner? I can actually use it. Use it to do what? Use it as a lesson. A lesson for what? Usually when you're trying to get a lesson in something, it's to do what? According to logic, solve a problem.
Solve a problem, yes.
So when you look at any, if you're looking at a statue of a person in a town square, you say, okay, I'm looking at this statue. Now, when I walk away from this statue and think about this statue, what will I have learned from having looked at this statue of this person that I can use to do what? Solve one of my problems that I have right now.
Okay.
Now, that is how you should look at the entire world. I don't care if you're just looking at a leaf on a tree. You know, you might say, well, hey, that leaf on that tree made me think about leaves on trees.
Okay.
And yeah, and that is very pleasant to me because how does a leaf work? I see leaves come on trees, and then in the fall they drop off. But then it seems like the same leaf appears next year. Now, what lesson can I learn from that? See, just a leaf on a tree.
Yes, sir.
You're supposed to learn something from everything that you see.
Everything. Okay, let's do this. Okay, caller, you are on with Mr. Fuller in our remaining minutes. Be brief. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. My name is Gregory, and Mr. Fuller, I have a question. I realized, like, in my family, I had a lot of incest that happened with rape and things like that, and I know that that's something that happens also in jail culture, a lot of rape, and I was just wondering if you could maybe describe or contemplate the effects of that, and also how that can play into homosexuality, and how it's something that's not discussed in our community and us as people in general.
You have a lot of what?
Incest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, like uncles taking, raping cousins and stuff like that, yes.
Yes. So it comes down to this one question, always in anything. And what is that question? Is this constructive? Now, I'm looking at a boy having sexual intercourse with his sister. So they call that incest. So you stand back and you look at that. and you say, now, okay, I got to make a decision. I got to make an assessment about this. And what is it? According to compensatory logic, everything falls into one of two categories. Constructive, non-constructive. There's no such thing as in between. And according to most historians and most doctors and scientists, they have said that down through the years, whenever people have done that, sometimes they produce offspring, meaning babies. And they have found that, oh, yes, you can do that. And that's what you might call family togetherness and all that. You can put it on any kind of label. But what is the result of it? Is it constructive or non-constructive? And a long time ago, probably millions of years ago, I mean, people in caves and whatnot, and people who are extremely primitive, they don't do that. Because they found out what? You come up with a whole bunch of people, sometimes that don't have arms. Their babies born who they have brain defects. Oh, so you have sexual intercourse with your sister if you're a male and that sister has a baby. It may turn out okay, but then on too many cases, no, you got something that you got to take care of now for the rest of your life, maybe two or three creatures. You can't really call them functioning people. And so they're just walking around, I mean, you know, with one arm or with a half a brain or with one eye, I mean, down near the corner of the mouth and the other eye at the top of the head. And it's not functional. This is not a functional creature. I mean, you know, one eye that doesn't work right now down near the corner of the mouth. And another eye at the top of the head. I mean, they can only see, it's a good eye, but it can see straight up. It don't even move. I mean, now, this is not what the creator probably had in mind. So you don't commit incest. And you give these very practical reasons. Doesn't have anything to do with what anybody thinks or what the law says or nothing like that. To say, hey, this is not the best arrangement. You know, because right now the white supremacists are just dumping all kinds of stuff on black people and saying, these are wonderful arrangements. I mean, this sexual sabotage, I mean, this is all over the place. And that's what I call it. I mean, it's a number of names I've come up with, but recently I used the term sexual sabotage because that's what it is. We are in a war.
Do you think incest has played a part in that?
If that's what they're encouraging, because they're going to get around to doing that too. And we have already been there, done that. Like you're saying, some people are doing it now and always have done it. But it is not a healthy thing to do. Every move that you make should be an improvement over movements that you made yesterday. I don't know who originated that. I didn't originate that. But it makes a whole lot of sense. Every move that you make today should be an improvement over any move that you made yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, suppose we had a world like that among black people. Suppose black people thought that way. You know what? I spent the whole day doing this and that and going here and going there. And there's a lot of stuff I did, but it wasn't no better than the stuff I did yesterday. Now, suppose every black person say, hey, I give myself some terrible marks for that because every day that I breathe, I'm supposed to be doing something better than everything that I did yesterday.
Well, you know,
man, we would be some, man, we would be people who would be off the hook.
Gotta leave it
like that.
Okay, gotta leave it there, caller. Gotta leave it there, Mr. Fuller. Talk to him at radio.com, the world's greatest radio, radio the way it should be heard. Good discussion, people. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Mr. Fuller, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for inviting.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller. Heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why?
one should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.